Radio Prague News.
MPs are debating a bill barring government members from owning media outlets. The president says the Czech army should focus more on the use of drones. And a promising Czech rower has died at the age of 22. The Czech lower house is debating a law barring government members from owning media outlets in a fourth and likely final reading. ANO opposed the bill, saying it's targeted at the party's chairman, Andrej Babiš, who owns two major newspapers and the country's most popular radio station. Two other coalition parties and opposition groupings say they will back the amendment, which also exists in a Senate version that will come into effect next September, not January. Mr. Babiš has signalled that he will take the law to the Constitutional Court if it's approved. Top O9 leader Miroslav Kolosek has apologised for comparing a system linking cash registers to a central taxation database to a concentration camp. Mr. Kolosek said the system was mere bullying and wants to see it scrapped or postponed. He said his party would be happy for everybody who escaped from this concentration camp, but first and foremost would like to see it done away with. Ahead of a lower house debate this week on the controversial tax record scheme, its architect, Finance Minister Andrej Babiš, said some businesses could be exempted. President Miloš Zeman says the Czech army should focus more on the use of drones, idns.cz reported. Speaking at an annual meeting with army chiefs in Prague, Mr. Zeman said the Czech military should move away from a reliance on tanks, which he would confine to the history books alongside the cavalry. The promising Czech rower Michal Placek has died at the age of 22. His body was found at the boathouse of the Dukla Sports Club in Prague. Police and a doctor said there was no evidence of any other person being involved in the death. A two-time winner of the World Rowing Junior Championships, Placek was seen as a likely heir to the Czech Olympic medalist and world champion Ondřej Synek. France's President François Hollande will meet the Czech President Miloš Zeman and Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka on a visit to Prague on Wednesday. The future of the European Union, terrorism and bilateral matters are expected to be high on the agenda during Mr. Hollande's visit. A representative said Mr. Zeman would raise the issue of Czech haulage firms operating in France being forced to meet the local minimum wage, which is higher than in other EU states. The company Metro Project is set to build a high-speed rail line between Prague's Václav Havel Airport and the city's Veleslavín, which is where travellers now transfer from the metro system to a bus to the airport. Metro Project can go ahead with the project after none of the companies that lost the competition appealed the result. The Railway Administration Infrastructure said construction work should not begin until 2020 at the earliest. And the weather, it should be partly fair with the chance of snow in some parts of the Czech Republic on Wednesday. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 2 degrees Celsius. The remainder of the week should be warmer with some rain or snow possible. My name is Ian Willoughby and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international section of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, Czechs make space for Giving Thursday, Brussels stages one of the most famous Czech operas, and we focus on the eldest daughter of the former president, Alica Masaryková. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Republic is for the first time taking part in Giving Tuesday, a global event created back in 2012 to promote charitable and philanthropic acts. Countless Czech charities are on board, including Doctors Without Borders and People in Need. Giving Tuesday is designed to serve as a counterweight to the consumerism of Black Friday, a custom which also made its way to the Czech Republic. Markéta Setinová is a coordinator at the Association of Social Responsibility, a Czech corporate and social responsibility NGO serving as official ambassador for the event. Dominik Kuhn began by asking how Giving Tuesday made its way into the Czech Republic.
So we saw saw some first activities within Giving Tuesday last year, and we thought that it's a nice idea. So we contacted Global Giving Tuesday in the U.S., and we went through this selection process and were appointed to be the Czech ambassadors for Giving Tuesday.
And which charities are taking part?
At this point, we have more than 100 Giving Tuesday activities in the Czech Republic. We have big charities like Lékaři bez hranic, Doctors Without Borders, and we have very small charities like local hospices and local charities.
What about Czech companies and corporations? Because globally, firms such as Microsoft and Google are serving as partners. So what about Czech companies? Are they also taking part in this giving?
Yes, we see a big interest from Czech companies. We have big companies as Vodafone, T-Mobile, or MSD IT taking part. And we also have small companies doing their Giving Tuesday activity, as, for example, LaceUp and other SMEs.
So what are you expecting from today's events? How much money are you expecting to be raised, and what kind of things are happening around the Czech Republic to raise money?
Well, it's not about only money. We want to also see volunteering and just building awareness about giving and philanthropy in the Czech Republic. And as in money, we will measure it after the day. So tomorrow we will see what money is raised. This initiative is especially big on social media. So we hope to see a lot of engagement on social media.
So as we speak, Giving Tuesday is already taking place. So what do you know so far? What's happening so far? Are there any success stories already?
One of the biggest success stories is definitely Doctors Without Borders, that had fundraising target that was actually reached in the early morning. And as we speak, I think it was more than double.
So and how did they go about raising this money?
Well, they focused on social media, and they also cooperated with a company that promised to match all what they fundraise, which is actually a very popular mechanism during Giving Tuesday, that NGOs partner with companies and then match what they are able to fundraise.
Dominic Kuhn there on the new charity trend. Now, the daily bread of a Brussels official is often associated, perhaps unfairly, with bureaucracy and senseless regulations. But a group of Czechs working in European institutions in Brussels decided to challenge this notion and show this more to life in the European capital. They teamed up with professional singers to stage a performance of Rusalka, perhaps the best-known opera by Antonín Dvořák. Rud Frankova reports.
Opera singer Milan Vlček in the lead role, along with amateur musicians from the Czech Sinfonietta Brussels Orchestra, the Brusinki and Anarše choirs, and a dance group called Pop Ballet, recently met on the stage of the cultural centre Flagey in Brussels to perform their own adaptation of Rusalka, an opera by Antonín Dvořák. The project was initiated by Ladislav Miko, Director General for Health and Food Safety of the European Commission, who also chairs the Czech Fun Club in Brussels. He explained how the idea came about.
When I heard of Brusinki performing Christmas Mass by Jakub Jan Riba, and I saw how the choir develops each year, I approached the choir master last year and I told him, let's do Rusalka, you're up to it. And since my daughter is part of the pop ballet group, I thought we could also have dancing. So this is how the project came about.
At first, some of the amateur musicians were reluctant to tackle such a challenging project. Simona Polova has been part of the Brusinki choir since 2006.
When Ladislav Miko approached us with the idea, many of us hesitated, feeling that we were perhaps not up to the task. It was a big challenge for our amateur choir, as well as for the Czech Sinfonietta Orchestra.
For the needs of the Brussels adaptation, the opera was slightly shortened, the libretto cut down and some of the characters left out. Most importantly, Ladislav Miko decided to change the title from the singular Rusalka to the plural Rusalki.
The performance combines dance and song, and therefore there are always two Rusalkas on stage, one who dances and one who sings. But that is only one reason. What is the message of Rusalka today? That everything can be overcome with love. There are many stories of this kind around us. So what our title suggests is that there is not just one Rusalka, and that she doesn't just belong to Dvorak only, but that they only live all around us. We just have to look and see. Rusalky žijou kolem nás a stačí se
jenom dívat a uvidíme. The performance of Rusalka, which was first staged on the anniversary of the Velvet Revolution, was a huge success, and those who took part are already considering projects for the future, such as Smetana's Bartered Bride or Dvořák's cantata Stabat Mater. They are also hoping to stage Rusalka in the Czech Republic in the near future.
Ruud Frankova there with that performance with some differences in Brussels. Now we'd stay with Ruud again, and this time for In Focus. And this Monday marked exactly 50 years since the death of Alice Masaryková, the first daughter of Czechoslovakia's first president, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, and his American wife, Charlotte. A prominent figure in Czechoslovakia between the wars, Alice Masaryková is mostly remembered today as the founder of the Czechoslovak branch of the International Red Cross.
We greet you across the ocean, members of the American Red Cross, and all of our friends who are listening in. For 16 years, every Eastertide...
This is Alice Masaryková speaking about the Easter Peace Truce of the Czechoslovak Red Cross on Czechoslovak Radio's shortwave broadcast in March 1937. A prominent figure in Czechoslovakia between the wars, Alice Masaryková is mostly remembered today as the founder of the Czechoslovak branch of the International Red Cross. According to Olga Hajková, a historian from the Masaryk Institute of the Czech Academy of Sciences, her life was always driven by the desire to help others, despite giving an impression of being rather strict and severe. Alice Masaryková was born in Vienna in May 1879 as the first child of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk and his American wife Charlotte, and spent the first years of her life in Vienna. In 1882, the family moved to Prague, where her father was appointed professor at the newly opened Czech Charles Ferdinand University. Olga Hajková says the upbringing of the Masaryk children, Alice, Herbert, Jan and Olga, was quite unusual for the time.
Her mother was brought up very strictly in the Protestant spirit, so she decided to give her own children a lot of freedom and the opportunity of further education. They learnt languages, music, but the family also put great emphasis on sports. The father was an important figure, someone all the children looked up to. As a father, he was an interesting figure. He would look after them, play with them, tell them stories. But when he worked, he kept his distance and he would only answer their questions if he thought they were to the point. Otherwise, he would simply ignore them.
As historian Olga Hajková points out, it wasn't easy for Alice Masaryková to step out of her father's shadow. Despite herself being highly educated and emancipated, she often felt inadequate, feeling that she failed to meet his expectations. After receiving a university education in Prague and Berlin in 1903, she spent a year in the United States, completing a postgraduate course on social care. She also assisted Czechoslovak immigrants who were starting a new life in the country. When she returned home, she started her teaching career. Olga Hajková again.
Když potom učila, jak českých.
When she started teaching at secondary schools in České Budějovice and in Holešovice, Prague, she was a very active and enthusiastic teacher. In her lectures, she always went beyond the boundaries of the given subject. She would take the girls outside on trips to the theater, and she taught them skiing and skating. She had a very open and individual approach to her students.
ke vzdělání a individuální těm svým žačkám.
Along with teaching, Alice Masaryková also became involved in the Red Cross movement, and that involvement intensified with the onset of the First World War. After the war, part of which she spent in an Austrian jail, she established and chaired the Czechoslovak branch of the International Red Cross. Among other things, she founded an annual tradition of holding a three-day political truce in Czechoslovakia, when politicians and journalists would suspend their political disputes. Here she is speaking about it on Czechoslovak Radio's shortwave broadcast in April 1938.
After the Great War, when conditions here were very difficult, the idea came to me that it would help to bring people together if the press of the country put aside party politics and invective for 3 days and concentrate on a constructive idea. We gained the confidence and cooperation of practically all journalists, so that our ideal of newspapers giving only truthful information, news alive but not sensational, was achieved during the 3 days of the truce. And we do not deny that we hope that what can be realized during 3 days will one day become a rule the whole year round. We beg you who are listening to work with us for our ideal embodied in our truth. A clean and truthful press that brings us nearer to each other, individuals and nations, in a wholehearted reverence for each eternal soul, without difference of nation, religion, or race. Let me say the words which we will pronounce by the Speaker of our Parliament in a few minutes. The peace of the Red Cross has been proclaimed. Let the peace of the Red Cross be maintained.
Nowadays, Alice Masaryková is remembered as a pioneer in the field of social care and a strict censor of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk's legacy, but her personal life remains somewhat obscured. Despite being a great teacher and social worker, Alice Masaryková never married and never had children herself. According to Olga Hajková, she put work over her personal life, but there were probably other factors as well.
Alice sama byla neuvěřitelně emotivní člověk, který toužil po lásce.
Alice was a very emotional person and she was also very self-depreciating. From what we know, she fell deeply in love twice. First, before the First World War, with a Vienna-based eye doctor, Fröhlich. And then she had a platonic relationship with architect Josip Plečník. There are beautiful letters they wrote to each other, which have never been published. Of course, she regretted never getting married and not having children. I think this is why she tried to be so helpful in other fields, such as the Red Cross or the rebuilding of Prague Castle.
In 1939, with the onset of the Second World War, Alice Masaryková was forced to leave for her first exile in the United States. She was devastated by the turn of events in Czechoslovakia and found her exile difficult to bear. When she came back in 1945, she hoped to spend the rest of her life in her house in the Slovak countryside. But in 1948, she was forced to leave the country again, this time for good.
She first left for Switzerland, where she stayed with her sister Olga. She then spent some time in London before moving to the United States. There she stayed for some time in the YWCA residence, supported by Czechoslovak expatriates, and also received financial aid from Radio Free Europe. She wrote her memoirs, which were published in the 1950s, but afterwards her health started to deteriorate and she started to lose her eyesight.
Alice Masaryková died in 1966, but it wasn't until the fall of the communist regime that the Czech Red Cross had her ashes brought home and placed in the Masaryk family grave at the Lány Chateau.
Ruth Frankova there, looking back at the life of Alice Masaryková. And that just rounds up everything from us today. You can find us on the internet at www.radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. From me, Chris Johnson, thanks very much for listening and goodbye.